This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey folks, it's Jake Miller from The Drive, and Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 20DRIVE. That's 20DRIVE at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls.
It's top five at five.
Quentin Todd on your Wednesday. The top five at five is brought to you by our good friends at Manscaped. And up first, Tennessee will not have a baseball game tonight. News coming down about 45 minutes ago that there will not be a game tonight between Tennessee and Vanderbilt. We don't have any details available, but as soon as we get them, we will relay those to you. Marcus?
Yeah, I think we were talking about it earlier, and I really think that just going to single elimination is going to be the best thing for us. Not just us, but just the rest of the tournament, because
I just don't see any way around it, man.
Yeah, the weather is just going to be terrible for today, tomorrow.
I mean, we're so far behind now.
Yeah, I mean, the Kentucky-Auburn game is playing today, and that was supposed to be yesterday, so I think...
Hell, it might spice it up, boys.
It might, which, I mean, the thing with situations like this is you're going to have somebody from some school that says, oh, we could have won a championship if it had been the regular format, but since they went to this regular format, we didn't win it.
Yeah, but it doesn't...
There's always going to be an asterisk beside
it. It doesn't really matter because, you know, the winner doesn't get an automatic berth into the postseason. Pretty much the teams that are going into the – it's Field of 64, correct?
I think yeah. So, yes.
Yeah. The teams that are going into the tournament, they're going in the tournament. I'm trying to think. Alabama may need to do some more work. I think I was watching that on SEC Network last night. There's a couple of our bubble teams, it might hurt them, but –
just tidy some things up.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I mean, it is what it is. And this weekend is, like I said, to me, this is an exhibition, end of the season exhibition games, and it pales in comparison to the next, you know, 2.5-3 weeks that we're getting ready to come up on with regional, super regional, or actually 3 to 4 weeks, and then the World Series, hopefully. So that's where I'm at with it.
Understand. And number two, former Tennessee defensive lineman Darrell Middleton has decided where he's going to finish his college football career. That will be at Carson Newman.
A pretty good spot for you. You see a lot of UT guys after things didn't go the way they thought they would here. We used to have a lot of guys go to end up at Carson Newman. Ken Sparks won a lot of NAIA national championships with kids that transferred there from Tennessee.
When did they make the transition to D2?
I don't know. I didn't even know they had.
Yeah, they're a Division II program, I'm pretty sure, because they're in the same conference as LMU.
Let's find out.
I think that's right. Yeah, look that up for me. And number three, we have Eastern Conference Finals action tonight. Game 5, series tied, 2 games apiece. Boston and Miami will tip off at 8:30. Boston enters as the 2.5-point favorite. It's turned out to be a really good series, and I'm afraid that the best series is going to probably be this one, and then we're not going to have a good series for the finals.
I don't know if I go that far, but the Celtics really need to win tonight. And, you know, simply to break, you know, they had a chance at doing it. Well, they had the big advantage when they took one game already down there in Miami, and they, you know, should be – looking to, you know, finish them out tonight, but they didn't. So, but it would be nice for them to get a win tonight, and then that way they can win it in the Garden in 6.
I read somewhere, I think that there's a couple, you know, I think it was Smart that didn't play last game. I think they said that they're going to wait, I think, until about pregame to figure out if he's going to play or not. They just can't turn the ball over. You keep
they actually did a pretty good job, I mean, without Smart the other night.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree.
I mean, they played, you know, it just depends. Like one night, Miami's defense shows up, Boston can't do a thing. The next game, Celtics shut them down. It was good to see Grant finally get warmed up a little bit shooting the ball. And guys are just going to have to step up and make big-time plays. So we got that going off, 8:30 tonight on ESPN.
Will be fun indeed. Number four, got a recruiting nug for you guys. Tennessee could soon be adding a talented running back to their 2023 class. Sam Singleton, four-star running back out of Orange Park, Florida, 5'11", is the number six running back in the nation.
How much do you weigh?
180.
It's tiny. Small.
Small. But if he's fast.
Yeah.
Make up for it.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather have, that 5'11 like Travis Henry and carrying 225, 230 and be fast.
Well, let's take him up to Rickard Ridge and get him some of that Piggy Mac.
That's
the way you put the weight on.
It's got to be good weight.
Oh, yeah. It's good weight. Don't give me that. Number five. 70-year-old Pakistani man broke a Guinness World Record by using his hand to crush 21 apples in 1 minute. Nassim Uddin, 70, broke this record using his grip strength. He beat the previous record of 13, which had been set in England.
Oh, so he would just put it in his hand and then just squash it.
I don't think I could do one.
I thought he was like hammering him.
No, like he just gripped the thing and just.
Yeah, that seems difficult. I've seen the people who do like the ripping it, like ripping it out.
Yeah,
that,
just like ripping
that
it
itself out. Looks difficult.
Absolutely could not do it anymore, and probably could have never done that. But that could have, back in the day.
You think you could have crushed an apple with one hand?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dude, I worked in pizza for years.
You think you can?
No. No, God, no, I couldn't do it. Hands are beat to death anyway. All right.
Yeah. I worked at Barley's, but I'd go in the afternoons and wander through the kitchen, help the guys that are making the dough.
And you just randomly pick up an apple and just crush it?
Well, yeah, I could because my grip strength was so strong because every afternoon I spent like 3 or 4 hours kneading like dough. Makes your hands really strong.
All right.
I have seen the apple ripping. That one blows me away.
Yeah, because I've seen a couple people do it, but there's a British comedian I've seen who's done it. And he talks about how he doesn't like grip it and pull.
Right.
Like I don't know how, it's crazy.
He just pops it. Now, have you seen the people that can take a can of beer and they dig their edges of their fingers underneath the top of it and then just pull the whole lid off?
Oh, that makes me uncomfortable. That makes me uncomfortable just as much as when you see people use their mouth to pull off the beer top.
Oh, those people are idiots.
Yeah.
What's wrong with people that do that?
Oh, it makes me.
I mean, you're asking to go to an oral maxillofacial surgeon when you do that. You're going to bust your teeth out. Yeah.
What if you have strong teeth like me?
I don't think I could watch anyone do it like in person.
My teeth hurt.
Yeah.
Bottom line, I can open beer with my teeth. All right, that is your top five at five, brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Go online to manscaped.com and use the code 20DRIVE. That's 20DRIVE at manscaped.com and find your diamond in the rough. All right, so getting back to this schedule. We got the 1-7 model, and we got the 3-6 model. Get your thoughts. 865-546-8200, and let's go right to it and talk to Chris. Good afternoon, Chris. You're on the drive.
Yes, Butch Jones couldn't squash 21 grapes in his hand in a minute.
Absolutely not.
You are 100% correct.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Funny story on him is I was actually at the 2016 Tennessee-Florida game tailgating, and that was a great game to be at, by the way.
It was. I was there.
I did not have tickets to the game. We stayed at the tailgate all day. But drank beer in excitement. First half, obviously, misery. And the second half, just pure jubilation watching it on the TV in our trailer. So it was great. But a guy that came over actually was said when Butch Jones went to church in Knoxville, he went to church with him at the Catholic church there. I don't know which one, obviously. And he said that Butch Jones was just a complete insecure moron. I mean, he said it was just so obvious this guy had no clue how to be a CEO of a major college football program.
That's telling.
He didn't know him very well, but just said in his random talkings to him when he was there, which wasn't very often, he's like, this guy's our football coach, good Lord.
Well, just basically sitting there bragging on himself the whole time, saying what good he's done, but never wants to talk about the bad.
Pretty much while he was wearing lifts in his shoes. But as far as the scheduling, as long as Saban is the coach, I'd much prefer the 1-7 model. Once he's gone, I would prefer the 3-6. But
I think there's a lot of people that get behind that. Yeah, I'm all in favor of the 1-7 now that Russell has kind of talked me through it, because, you know, I just have it in my head. I'm like, we're going to get screwed somehow. We're going to get put with Alabama. And if you go that 3-6 model, that's probably going to happen. But when you go to the 1-7, you know, like Russell and Bear said, they're not going to break up
Bandy.
They're not going to break up the Iron Bowl.
No.
That's not going to happen.
Florida will be Georgia, Russell, and Andy, which is pretty great.
Is there a chance that Kentucky would be our draw?
Mm.
I wouldn't think so, just because in-state. Kentucky would probably be South Carolina, I would guess.
That's who they're going to get paired with. Ole Miss will be with Mississippi State.
Bama and Auburn,
Texas and Oklahoma.
Or Texas,
LSU and Arkansas.
And then LSU, Arkansas. I don't know. That'll be interesting how they work that out.
Yeah,
you
LSU,
Georgia,
and Arkansas.
Florida then?
I can also see a scenario.
They aren't getting rid of the cocktail party.
Well, I could also see a scenario where they put Vanderbilt with Missouri and then put us with Kentucky.
I mean, I'd be fine with that. I'd almost rather play Kentucky than Vanderbilt.
I mean, it'd be more entertaining.
I'd rather play Kentucky every year.
There's nothing like better than kicking their teeth in.
I mean, it would definitely be a more entertaining game, that's for sure. Bring back the barrel.
Yes, it would. And as far as the Vandy Whistler, good Lord.
Well, hold on, Chris. We got some breaking news, buddy. Hold on.
Oh, God.
Oh.
All right.
This is from Dan Harrelson on Twitter. Tennessee versus Vanderbilt is currently slated for a 10:30 a.m. Eastern start time on Thursday, tomorrow morning.
That sounds terrible.
Why?
You still there with us, Chris?
Yes, good Lord. 9:30 Central?
Yeah.
We got to get the game in.
Playing.
Oh, I know.
Playing sports growing up.
I'm looking forward to watching it, but obviously I'll have to follow it sporadically on my computer and record it and hope we win and watch it when I get home.
You can ask anybody that's ever played travel ball in baseball or played AAU basketball. There is nothing worse than rolling straight out of bed to go straight to the
gym
or the ball
field. They're not playing that game at 9:30. I'm telling you.
It is 9:30 Central.
Yeah, but they're not going to be – listen to me.
You don't think they're playing the game because of weather?
Exactly. 90%. It's starting at like 4 a.m. It goes from 50 to 70 to 80, and then by 6 a.m. you're looking at 90%. And then it drops down the lowest at 3 p.m. It goes to 40, and that's as far out as I can go on the forecast that I'm looking at right now. But we ain't playing at 9:30 in the morning. It's going to be pouring down rain again.
That's why we need to play in a dome.
They'll have to make it single elimination, I would think.
Yeah, they really aren't going to have a choice.
Well, then you're going to run into a scenario if we don't get to play tomorrow where somebody's going to have to play two games in a day.
I mean, they may have to go to, you know, 2 7-inning doubleheaders. I mean, they can't run the thing till Monday. The thing I'm adamant about, we're not going into next week. We got to be getting ready for the regional. We can't play past Sunday. That is when you start getting into we're going to be at a big disadvantage with one day less rest for our pitching staff.
Do you think we withdraw?
Nah, Vitello's not going to do that.
That would be.
You would just play a bullpen game at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, even for the regional, you don't want to. I mean, that's a big thing is managing, just managing our arms. as this weekend unfolds. It's going to be really interesting to see how they do that. I don't know, but they're going to have to do something.
Yeah, I was looking forward to watching us kick the Vandy Whistlers' butt tonight. But, oh, I'll have to wait till tomorrow. Well, y'all talking about national titles yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of people don't realize Tennessee won the national title, even though it's not a sanctioned sport, in rugby.
We did.
And in cornhole.
That's my favorite one. I want a cornhole champ shirt.
Say, hang the banner for cornhole.
Hang the damn banner!
I'll take all the banners.
Banner Dan. Getting it done. Anything else, Chris?
No, that's it. All right, y'all have a great show. See you.
Thank you, Chris. All righty. Let's take our quick time out here. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop on the show this evening. The Drive continues, back with more right after this. Shout out to Brian on Twitter. Apparently Chris Burke said today that they might use three or four other fields outside of the stadium in Hoover, untelevised, to get the games in.
Watch, they'll end up putting us on. This season's been the damnedest thing I've ever seen. Having the number one team in the nation, and they're always streaming. And it's always like, you got all these alternate channels. Can you not put
when's
it up?
When's the last time they actually used the alternate channel outside of football season?
They don't.
Exactly.
I don't even think they do during basketball.
No, it's just the same loop of whatever logo it is.
Yeah. It's just strictly for football, but it's just kind of disappointing. So,
Before we get back to the phones, Marcus, you've got an update on the polls.
Our Rickard Rich barbecue smoking hot question, of the day, talking about the SEC football scheduling format, which if you would prefer one permanent opponent with seven rotators or three permanent opponents and six rotators. Currently, with 142 votes, the 1-7 is 39%, with the 3-6 leading 61%.
Yeah, that's weird. I'm with Russ. I think if they really stopped and looked at it the way we have, they might change their vote.
They might. All right, let's get back to the phones, where Jamie is standing by. Good afternoon, Jamie. You're on the Drive.
What's up?
What's up?
So with the one, is it seven? You'll get to play everybody in the conference every 2 years.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what you want, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think that's going to be the fairest way because, I mean, Georgia rarely plays Alabama right now. Now, granted, they do play Florida and Auburn, but
– Florida's trash.
You know, we're stuck – but on this, you know, like I was saying earlier, Jamie, we'd have to beat Alabama in the regular season usually and see him again in Atlanta to even think about making the playoffs. That's what I can't get past.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just nobody else in the country has that problem.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't see Alabama being – just like Russ was saying, I don't see him being this dominant once Nick Saban retires.
No.
And Jake, Florida ain't going to be trash, but just a minute.
Well, good. That means we can beat them when they're trash.
I mean, we're assuming they're going to be trash. I mean, still got this thing about Florida. Even when they're down, it's so easy to recruit down there.
Yeah, but look at their head coach. Just look at him. You don't even have to look at his stats. Just look at him. You want to go play football for
dude,
that guy?
Dude, we lost to Coach Crazy House. What the guy's name played at Georgia. They coached at Florida.
We lost to the Shark Humper.
Yeah, we lost to Shark Humper. We lost to Crazy. What's that guy's name?
Talking about Will Muschamp?
Yes, Crazy Will Muschamp. He had to go to South Carolina and have a horrible team before we beat that guy.
Plus, Jake, Florida was trash last year and put it on us pretty good.
Yeah.
Their annual three-touchdown whipping.
Yeah, but we weren't.
And they can literally walk. Napier can walk out of his office and throw a rock and hit a five-star.
Well, good for him.
Well, it's just – you got to be realistic.
Bear, you bring up something interesting with that last statement. I mean, it don't matter if you've got a room full of five stars and somebody else is 5,000 miles away. It's who's got the cash now, isn't it?
You're not wrong.
Well, yeah, and I think I've said it. I think part of what led Saban don't want parity. Saban hears footsteps because he knows the advantage that he's enjoyed for all these years is the gap is going to be closing, especially with Texas, Texas A&M, and I'd honestly add Tennessee to that list. They're right below the Texas schools as far as
coffers.
Yeah, just boosters that we've got several billionaire boosters. And that's like
– That's weird. It's weird that our whole lives it's been, you know, these fertile rich states that are able to put out, you know, the Ohio's, bringing Ohio State, Michigan, Florida, Texas. And now it's going to be who's got – forget what you've got as far as high school talent. It's what you've got dollar signs from your boosters.
How much you got in the bank account. That's what matters now.
We still have to –
Still got to win.
I mean, that's part of it. We still got to win. We still need to lock down our borders. I mean, you go back the past 15, 20 years, I've watched teams make the playoffs and teams win national championship with kids that back during the 90s would have been playing at Tennessee and Tennessee kids.
Mm-hmm.
To Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia. And that's got to stop. So –
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
But it is it is going to allow us to catch up quicker, especially with this latest thing. And it's going to get weaponized immediately by college football coaches. I mean, they just how they do with everything, the 25 scholarship limit going away. You know,
yeah, we might have, you know, with Heupel and this new NIL, we've tried to strike the flint four or five times since Fulmer and never caught fire. Maybe this is finally going to be Tennessee stumbling into a situation where we were able to capitalize on something if we don't get in our own way on this.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we hired, he's probably the best offensive coach we've ever hired as head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, he does something that's like cutting edge. Everybody in the country, I really think they're going to try and catch up to us. I think that's why you saw Ole Miss go after Golish in the offseason. And
Miami.
Yeah, and Miami because they want somebody that knows how to run the Heupel system because it's highly successful. And I'm looking forward to seeing it with – you know, top-tier talent.
And we don't have a quarterback drama going into this season. We already know that Hendon Hooker is going to be our starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's the big thing right there.
Because since Josh Dobbs has left every single summer, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Why are we doing this? Why can't it be that guy? That's put to bed. We know that Hendon Hooker is going to be our starting quarterback, and we've got an idea of what he can do. So I'm really excited to see what happens in the second year.
I wonder, though, with the freshman quarterback that we had come in, was it Salter?
You talking about last year?
He's gone.
Yeah, Caden Salter at Liberty.
Oh, wait, not Caden. Didn't we sign some kid this year?
Is it Tavon Jackson?
Tavon Jackson.
Or Tavon.
Yes.
Yeah, he's redshirting.
Is he? Oh, well, all right.
Unless something goes terribly, terribly wrong, I would imagine the depth chart is Hooker, Milton, and then I guess Taven.
Navy Shuler.
I mean, at that point, yeah. Well,
guys, I'll be short. I guess the neighbor's not going to respect the drive and turn the mower off, so I'll get out of here. I don't know how loud that is on your end, but it's killing me. Y'all hang in there.
All right, see you, buddy. I couldn't hear it.
I didn't hear a thing.
Hey. I know that pain, though.
So another question to ponder with all this is how do we determine who goes to Atlanta?
I think you just do the top two.
Just do your two best teams the way it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way it should have been all along. All right, let's get back to the phones and talk to Will. Good afternoon, Will. You're on the drive.
Hey, gentlemen.
What's up?
Hey, just wanted to chime in on a couple of things. Jamie kind of talked about what I was going to say with my favorite aspect of the 1-7 being that you play everybody every other year, and I know this is kind of a relic to think that players are going to stay at one school for 4 years, but for those few that do, they'll go to every conference stadium in the entire league. So
yeah, heck yeah.
Right. Think, that is kind of cool.
And you got a chance, you know, at that point. I know, you know, a lot of Knoxville people have Auburn ties and things like that. I think that some of those are really ready-made rivalries, like you've been saying today, too, with Ole Miss. Ready-made rivalries with Ole Miss and Auburn that are going to get a little more fuel if you're playing them every other year versus every third, you know, or going to Auburn every 6 years. That just, it doesn't really get that fire going in those rivalries like I think every
no,
year
and,
situation.
And no, and we used to play them every single year, home and away. Yeah.
Something else to ponder is the fact that you look back before we moved the Georgia game to November, October used to be just a gauntlet for us.
Miserable.
I mean, you almost didn't want to watch football in October because you knew something bad was going to happen. We're going to go 1-3 or 0-4 in that month, and it's happened. I'm just glad that we might not have to deal with that anymore.
Yeah, I think it's you know, certainly we're kind of stand to be a big beneficiary, and it's another reason I think to be optimistic, and hopefully we've got the right guy in place for us to kind of capture this moment. But yeah, in terms of who it's going to be, it'll probably be Vanderbilt, but I mean, I'm kind of with you, Bear. I think you'd rather have Kentucky in there, but 6-1, half a dozen the other, and it ought to be an automatic win every year if we get our program where it needs to be. But I was gonna switch real quick to baseball. You guys kind of talking about going to single elimination. I'm just not sure that you're going to be able to do that with the Alabama and Arkansas game already underway. As much as it would be fun to watch one of those two fan bases bellyache, you know, if you lose that game and you're going in under the assumption that it's a double elimination, and all of a sudden after the game they tell you to pack your bags, you know, there's a lot of strategy things in play that are different in a double elimination versus single elimination. So I just don't know that you could change the rules once that game had its first pitch.
Oh, there's going to be controversy.
Well, I mean, there probably was, but I'm intrigued by – was it Burke that said that they may play in multiple
– Yes, there's 3 to 4 stadiums. I would assume Hoover High School is probably one of them.
Yeah, they can't play at a high school.
Why not?
They'll play at UAB.
Sorry to interrupt. They've got a really nice downtown minor league stadium for the Barons. Yeah. That's got to be one of them.
One of them there, probably UAB. And I think there may be another one. But, no, they wouldn't play in a high school stadium.
You don't think so?
No. It's not big enough.
They might try and put us up against the Crimson Tide in Tuscaloosa. That'd be some stuff that might happen.
Oh, yeah, that's it. And, you know, you could just – you know, that's another state-of-the-art stadium, but no, you want to put Jordan Beck and those and that bunch in a damn high school stadium? It'd be like 50 to 30.
Good.
Not going to do that.
Entertaining baseball. About these softball leagues that we see around town. Don't even run the bases. You just hit a home run, you go back to the dugout.
I mean, it will be interesting to see how they work this out, because they're behind the eight ball.
One other thing that I wanted to bring up was that Vitello interview they had on SEC Network last night. Reading between the lines, I think they're looking to work arms this weekend. I was kind of thinking you're worrying about blowing out arms, but I think he feels like he's got to get innings for some of these guys who've had rest weekends. So Burns and Beam, Dolander, and Tidwell have all been pretty lightly worked, so I think he's wanting the innings for all those guys. So I guess as long as it's not going into really, I kind of would be fine with Monday having a bullpen game, but as long as it's not going into Tuesday or late Monday, I think I'd be okay with it. Just because
you can't go into Monday. I mean, you just can't. It has to end on Sunday. Because a regional start Friday. There's just no way. You can't do that to the schools, you know, like Tennessee, Arkansas, LSU, A&M, Who else is guaranteed to make it? Vanderbilt, I guess?
Probably.
I think we've got like 9 in. So, I mean, it's just not – the conference shouldn't shoot itself in the foot in the regional and have a bunch of SEC schools that are going on short rest. And I would hope – that would be my suggestion. Let's do what's best for the SEC schools heading into the postseason, not so much about this weekend. I may be wrong. I mean, if anybody disagrees, feel free to call in and argue against it. But to me, I've said it twice now, but it's just this weekend's kind of meaningless to me. I mean, it'd be nice to win it, but it's, you know, we haven't won it in a long time, but it doesn't really register for me. Not like the regional super and then the, you know, hopefully we can make the World Series again.
Yeah, that's true. You bring up a really good point there. And I think it sounds like they've got their winning solution, which is just play games. I hate that they wouldn't be on TV, but, you know, you can listen to John Wilkerson. I'm confident we'll still have that going on. So, anyway, gents, y'all have a good one and go Vols.
Thank you, Will. Shout out to our lovely following on Twitter, UAB and Samford would be possible sites if this were to go down.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say UAB, Samford, Hoover.
Where the Barons play, Regents Field.
Regents Field.
Regents Stadium, whatever it is.
You've got Alabama right there in Tuscaloosa. So, I mean, that's 5 fields. Might be a little helter-skelter, but, I mean, all those places have.
But you can't let Bama have – well, I mean, they basically have a home series.
Yeah, at Hoover. Yeah, you're not playing Alabama in their home park. You can't let Alabama go there.
No.
So – I mean, Hoover's bad enough.
Yeah. The only good thing to come out of that place is a Whataburger. I hate driving through there.
I feel like they should play this in Atlanta.
Well, just do it all in, what, Truist Park?
Is that where the Braves play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we need a dome.
No.
I'm a big dome guy.
Yeah, I've noticed that. You keep bringing it up. No. We've all disagreed with you.
Nobody's disagreed with
yes.
you. Only you.
Yes. No.
Only you.
No. Rush just doesn't entertain it. It's silly. But, yeah, I'd like to have it at Truist Park.
So I was just going to say, because, Barry, you mentioned that Dan Harrelson had said something about Tennessee Vandy playing at 10:30 tomorrow.
Yeah.
On SEC Sports website for the bracketology, or brackets, whatever you want to call it, they have Kentucky and LSU slated for May 26 at 10:30 a.m. at the moment. So I don't know if they plan on sliding that one down or maybe moving the Tennessee game a little bit later.
Or but maybe as having right two now, games starting at
maybe
10:30 just at different facilities.
Right. So that's another thing to look into when we talk about potentially other stadiums. That they currently the SEC has that game slated at 10:30.
Okay, shout out to our Twitter followers again. The fields that they would use are on the same property as the current stadium. They're basically travel ball fields.
I don't know. They're no good answers at this point.
No, and this is kind of reminding me, of course, very different circumstances, but the 2008 SEC tournament in Atlanta, 2009, when we had the tornado hit the Georgia Dome. They're scrambling as to where they're going to play these games. You know, how is the current game going to finish? They end up finishing the current game, but enough damage was done to the Georgia Dome. It's like, okay, where do we do this? How do we do this? And eventually I end up going over to Georgia Tech and finishing out the SEC tournament, which, I don't know, do you put an asterisk beside of that?
No.
I get that there are some fan bases who are going to want to do that if somebody wins. That, like, if Tennessee were to win the tournament, I'm sure there are definitely, like, Vanderbilt fans or Arkansas fans are like, well, it was a single elimination. You guys, you know, doesn't really count. But ultimately, we've said it before, the regular season is what counts. So, I don't know. I don't think you can put an asterisk next to any of this. If they have to go down to single elimination, I think it's a whoever wins it.
Interesting. All right. Take our final timeout. The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up next. Stay locked in right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment of the drive. Bear, why did you have to tell me that before we came back on? Now I'm starving.
It was an incredible meal last night. I chowed down. I don't really have an appetite anymore. I can go days without eating.
So are you more of a Chinese restaurant or a Chinese buffet guy?
I don't do buffets. I'm a germaphobe.
Oh yeah, you hate buffets. Mm. Marcus, buffets or no?
It depends on my mood. Like, there are certain buffets where I'm just like, because I'm not like, look, I might be a bit of a bigger guy, but I don't just want to just sit down and chow down for hours on end. But like, there's sometimes you feel that Chinese buffet moment. You're like, I kind of want a little bit of everything. So I feel it sometimes.
You ever had Chinese buffet syndrome?
Mm-mm.
So with the MSG that's used in that food, you can actually become addicted to Chinese food.
Really?
MSG?
Dude, I kid you not, I ate at a Chinese buffet every single day for 15 days straight when I was in high school.
I mean, why? That's just dumb.
I think you might just have, like, I don't want to say an addiction, but I think you have a fascination with a certain food group at a certain point of your life because, you know, you're going through pizza, right?
No, I'm not going through pizza. I have been pizza.
You've been pizza.
Ever since I was born. Yeah.
So I feel like you know, sometimes you just kind of have, you know, that craving of a certain thing for a few days and then you move on to something else.
Oh, no, I still eat it pretty regularly.
Oh, well.
Yeah, mine's not that. I don't like eating anymore.
Just anymore.
Yeah, you just told us that you had these awesome pork dumplings last night and you got shrimp.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no telling. Every once in a, you know, I never know when it's going to hit.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully at least once a day, but sometimes it's every two. Gone three.
I don't envy that at all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's terrible. My taste is completely off still. That's bad.
So are there any, like, you know, sweets or candies?
No.
You don't even do that anymore, do you?
No. And I'm a guy who used to eat dessert with every meal. Seriously.
Mm. Do you get it before the meal or after the meal?
Oh, after. You get sweet last. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So
you had sweets after breakfast?
Yeah, like cereal or some oatmeal or some blueberry yogurt or something, you know?
I guess that kind of counts.
That counts.
No, like the sweetest thing I can stand out, like Gatorade.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I don't know if it's like, because, you know, they talk about taste buds change as you get older. Like, I might do like a candy bar here and there. I don't have the same craving for it that I used to when I was younger. Like, I could eat like a Twix bar maybe and be fine without any other sugar for like candy type sugar.
Yeah.
For like a week or so.
Sure.
Well, that's my breakfast usually.
A Twix bar?
No.
Oh.
The four packs of Reese's sticks and a coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just sitting here thinking, you're not going to have a gallbladder by the time you're my age. Probably going to be a borderline diabetic. And honestly, you know, you need to make sure you have major health insurance because.
What, you think I'm going to die?
Well, you're going to be seeing a lot of specialists, like cardiologists.
I'll be fine.
He might.
Endocrinologists.
He might have time in bed to, you know, watch some of those movies, though.
Yeah. Uh huh.
No, we've already talked about that. We can't do that because it's like changing the oil in a car that hasn't had an oil change in about 50,000 miles. It just won't. It won't work after that.
Yeah, I don't buy that theory really either.
Like, it might break me. What about the car or the fact that I'm watching these movies?
Both? Take your pick.
Yeah. No, that is a fact. If you change the oil in a car after it's not had one for 50,000 miles, you're better off just not even doing it. Just let it run until it dies.
I just want, you know, I think what we all want ultimately, and I think it's safe to speak for Russ in this moment. We just want you to watch some movies, Jake. Just catch up with the world.
I'm beyond the point. I mean, if you want to miss out on some of the best parts of life, that's on you, man. We're just telling you over and over. You will love these movies.
Okay, I get that, but I've got my rotation of movies that I like.
Okay, I'm done.
You could build upon it.
No.
Growth.
It's a great rotation as it is.
Listen, as Tennessee fans, we always want to go back to, you know, the 90s and how great it was.
And a lot of my favorite movies are from the 90s.
We need some growth. We got to move forward and push forward and break those boundaries and embrace the hype era. You know, like we got this. Same with your movies. If you want to do a metaphor with the car oil, I'll do one as well. We'll break forward and break through in the hype era and make new memories. That's what we got to do.
Yeah, sure. But shifting gears, something we haven't talked about hardly at all this show is the Celtics Heat game tonight.
It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be.
Who's favored?
Boston's favored right now, I think, by 3.
And it's in the Garden?
No, this one's in Miami.
When did they go to this? I was wondering that last night.
So I think they, if I'm not mistaken, they do the 2-2. So the
it's top 2-2, 1-1-1.
Yeah.
So Miami was seeded higher than
they
Boston.
They were the first seed, and so Boston was the second seed, yeah.
Okay.
So you got the first 2 games at Miami, 2 games at Boston, which they split down the middle, and then you got
Miami. Gave up one here.
Yeah, they got Miami, then you go to Boston for game 6, and if they need a 7th, it will be in Miami as well, which I hope it doesn't go that long.
See, when I was how it used to be was 2-3-2. That's how it always was. I couldn't remember when it – I was racking my brain last night. As I was holding my phone, I guess I could have looked it up, but I decided to wait until I was around you, Marcus, and you could figure that out for me.
I can see what I can do for you.
Things happen that way.
I liked it better at 2-3-2, but –
made more sense, less travel. Probably
yeah.
Less money for teams to spend.
Yeah. But if you broke – you know, if you could steal one in the first two, it definitely gave you a major advantage for the lower seeded team to have 3 at home.
I'm trying to see.
I do think that if this series goes to a game 7, that Boston's not going to win. That's if it goes to a game 7.
I'd say I think if it goes to 7, Boston wins.
I agree with what Tatum said in the press conference today. And he was talking about how they need to treat this like it's a win-or-go-home game. And I completely agree. I think you got to kind of go into this game with your backs against the wall, because if you don't come out of this game with the win, I don't know if they even if they are able to push it to 7, I think you're right. I don't think they win it,
because
unfortunately.
I mean, you got to think, if they win tonight, 2 days from now, they're going to be playing in the Boston Garden, TD Garden, whatever it's called. Boston fans, they love their basketball.
Mm-hmm.
They have not seen them go to the NBA Finals since 2010, I do believe.
Yes.
With
the big three. When they lost to LA.
Lost to Kobe. Yeah, and they lost out at LA in game 7.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Great game all the way through, but, I mean, if you want to win it all,
unfortunately,
you've got to get it to where you can win in the Garden.
It was a great game.
There are certain words I'm not allowed to use on radio that I would say about the Lakers right now.
Well, you know that's why I'm not a Lakers fan. It's because I grew up a Celtics fan.
Yeah. Hate the best, buddy. It's the Mamba.
Where were they in the playoffs? Oh, we're talking about specifically Kobe or L.A.?
Yeah, they don't – this version of the L.A. Lakers is
– it's not L.A.
Not that I've known all my life.
They are not willing to give up – the Doc Rivers rumor that's been floating around.
What? They're going after Doc Rivers?
That's a rumor that's being floated around, and Laker fans, I mean, this is their John Gruden. They think that if they get Doc Rivers, they're going to win championships until the man retires.
Did they see what happened with the Clippers? Did they see what happened with the 76ers? He has the guy who went up 2nd in MVP voting. Like, Joel Embiid, in my opinion, probably should have been MVP, but he has that. He had the talent for a couple of years now, and he has not been able to do anything with it. I get that it's LeBron. I get that it's AD, but look, yeah, he won us the championship in 08, he had the perfect combination of a roster.
But look at what all he had.
Perfect big three.
He had the big three, but he also had, you know, great role players like Brian Scalabrine, Rajon Rondo.
Yeah. And he was able to pull one championship out of it. Went to the finals the second time in 2010.
And then he uses the...
What happened?
Well, my big thing there is you go back to when they lost L.A. in 2010. He looked in the locker room and he said, well, this isn't your all's fault. This isn't, you know, we've still not had a real chance to defend our title because we didn't have K. Perk last year. And then this year, I forgot who was hurt, but they didn't have their full roster that they had in 2008. He's trying to say this team didn't have a chance to defend its title. They had two chances, you know, before, or one chance before that, and then that making two chances, and they didn't get it done. And if you don't have the big three, Doc Rivers does not have an NBA title as head coach.
My personal opinion, the Doc Rivers that we have now, the current Doc Rivers, in my personal opinion, is a great regular season coach. Like, you can see how well he can put together a season with Philadelphia, did it with the Clippers. But once he gets into the postseason now, man, it's just not what he should be. Like,
so you're saying honestly, he's basically Rick Barnes?
Honestly, the 76ers should be who Boston's playing right now.
It should be, but, I mean, you basically said it without saying it. Doc Rivers is the NBA's version of Rick Barnes.
The only difference is that he's actually won one. Yeah, he pulled a win. Yeah. He's great in the regular season.
Yeah,
but he can't get his done in the postseason.
He's got a ring.
But he has one. Yeah, he's got a ring.
He's got a ring.
But Tennessee hasn't had a super team yet for Rick Barnes to get his ring. We can't. We can go buy a championship now. I was about to say we can't go buy a championship.
There's a guy that's playing for the Celtics, getting ready to make, you know, $80 million a year starting next year. That was part of one of Barnes' super teams. So Barnes had some loaded teams, but you can't say Doc Rivers can't get it done. I mean, he's still the head coach. They still won the championship.
He's not going to make $80 million.
Yeah, but I don't think he's – like, if he goes to L.A.
Williams?
You think?
Yeah.
Do you think that if Doc Rivers goes to L.A., he wins a championship? Is that what you're saying?
Doc Rivers?
Yeah. If he goes to the Lakers, do you think he wins a championship?
With this lineup that the Lakers have right now?
Yeah.
No. I don't think anybody can.
But you got to think about, like, what he had with the Clippers. He had Blake Griffin in his prime. Chris Paul was playing great. What happened there?
Chris Paul's a choke artist.
And then you go to the 76ers.
No, where you have a talent.
You've got the guy who should be, in my
opinion,
the MVP.
He should not be the MVP.
And Joel Embiid.
Tobias Harris.
Harden played better with the 76ers than we expected.
Ben Simmons.
It's like
garbage.
Jimmy Butler said, I love Tobias, but they kept Tobias and traded Butler.
Yeah, they should have kept Butler. But when they had Butler, what happened?
I mean, it's Philly. They've been screwing up for 50 years.
I'm just saying, Doc is great in the regular season, man. But I just, since 08, really, well, I'll even say it's since 2010. Since
he's
took
got
to
a 2-pound ring with diamonds in it that he walks around with. He's held that golden basketball.
Well, he's got Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen to thank for that.
Yeah, as a Celtics
it's
fan,
not just
I'm
the players.
So thankful for that. I am. But my goodness, he just cannot. He's got some great talent on his teams now, and he just can't get it done anymore.
We'll see. I don't know. If he goes to the Lakers,
we'll see. But
he's not going to be able to do anything with this roster. I don't know what the Lakers are going to do.
Nobody can fix that, man. You could bring back Pat Riley, and he wouldn't be able to fix it. Phil Jackson. The list goes on.
He's trying to get into the ear of Jeannie Buss, apparently. Apparently he's like trying to like give some suggestions on like coaches and stuff like that, which I'm like – we saw what you
really?
Did with the Knicks. That's what I heard.
Didn't they used to be in a?
They dated for a long time.
Yeah,
we saw.
Gotta stop doing that, man. Blast my ears.
We saw what his executive abilities were in New York, and I don't think the Knicks are too fond of him in those suggestion.
No.
So, I don't know what they're gonna do, but it's as a Boston fan, I'm glad to see them. Get lower and lower so we can get our 18th and get back on top again.
Might happen, it might not. Just hope it doesn't go to a game 7. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Brett, for hanging out with us today. Overtime is coming up next on many of these fine Fan Run affiliates. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.